stars for Best Competition Program. From America's Newsroom, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. On today's Knowing the Truth radio program, we're going to listen to an interview that I recorded earlier this week. I believe it was on Tuesday of this week. I recorded an interview with Dr. J.I. Packer about his new book, In My Place, Condemned He Stood. Now, you probably recognize that title, In My Place, Condemned He Stood. You recognize that title as being a line from the hymn, Hallelujah, What a Savior. It's written by Richard Bliss, and it's based upon Isaiah chapter 53, which, of course, is that wonderful chapter in Isaiah's prophecy, speaking about Christ as the substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. In the second verse of the hymn, based upon that passage of Scripture, we read this, Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. It's a wonderful hymn. It's a wonderful topic. It's a wonderful interview with Dr. Packer. I think you're going to enjoy here in just a couple of minutes. In this book written by Dr. Packer along with Mark Dever, In My Place Condemned He Stood, Celebrating the Glory of the Atonement, it's really a combination of three classic articles that were written by Dr. Packer. The first one is The Heart of the Gospel, which was his Tyndale Biblical Theology lecture. So that's the first one, and that's primarily where our discussion will center around during the interview. The second was, What Did the Cross Achieve? Another article written by Dr. Packer. And then finally, a section of the book is dedicated to an introductory essay to John Owen's great work, The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. And Dr. Packer gives a wonderful introduction to that book, and that is included in this new book, In My Place Condemned He Stood, as well. The book is also, I should mention, Dr. Packer co-wrote the book with Mark Dever, and Mark Dever's recent article called Nothing But the Blood is included in the book as well. Additionally, the foreword of the book is written by the four principals of the Together for the Gospel event that takes place every other year. Of course, those four individuals include Mark Dever, Ligon Duncan, C.J. Mahaney, and Dr. Al Mohler. And so those four combined together in order to write the foreword for this book. So it's certainly from some of the leading writers, the leading thinkers of our time have put together this book on one of the leading subjects of the gospel, which is the celebration of the glory of the atonement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I put on the blog this morning that thoughtful readers looking for a compact classic on this increasingly controversial doctrine need to look no farther than this penetrating volume. And I think that that's true. This is where I think it's all compiled here so that you can fully understand this wonderful doctrine and stand up against the errors in our day that are trying to destruct this doctrine in our day and time. Let's listen to the interview, and then we will go ahead and open up the phone lines and give you an opportunity. Dr. Packer's not with me here in the studio, but give you an opportunity to comment on what you hear in the interview, and we can have some dialogue afterwards as well. So let's start the interview here, and then we'll go ahead and open up the phone lines right afterwards.
Hey, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program with Pastor Kevin Bowling. I think we're in for a real treat here today. If you're familiar with the number of topics that we discuss on the radio program, my guest today is Dr. J.I. Packer, and I'm sure you're familiar with that name for a number of reasons, primarily because of the books that he has written over the years. Dr. Packer is a Board of Governors Professor of Theology at Regent College in Vancouver, British Columbia. He has written many books, including probably one of his best-known book is Knowing God. He also served as a general editor for the English Standard Version of the Bible. You've heard R.C. Sproul talking very often about the ESV and the good folks over there at Crossway as well. Well, Dr. Packer is my guest today, and we're going to be talking about one of his latest books. It's really he's co-authored with Mark Dever, but the book is entitled In My Place, Condemned He Stood, and it's a book that is celebrating the glory of the atonement. That's certainly a subject that is near and dear to my heart, and should be a subject that is near and dear to the heart of every single Christian. Unfortunately, that's not often the case in our modern evangelicalism. Let me read a statement to you from Philip Ryken, who, of course, is the senior minister of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. He says this, quote, "In a time of spiritual decline and doctrinal confusion, it is desperately important for us to be clear about the cross. Writing with the precision of learned theologians and a passion of forgiven sinners, Mark Dever and J.I. Packer explain the meaning of atonement, substitution, and propitiation, not just as words, but as saving benefits we can only receive from a crucified Savior." With that as an introduction, let me welcome into the program today Dr. J.I. Packer. Dr. Packer, it's certainly a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
It's a pleasure to be part of your program, Kevin. I look forward to it.
Good. Dr. Packer, I wanted to start with this book. It says here, Celebrating the Glory of the Atonement. But really, as we look at it more, I guess, in a more theological sense, we're talking about the subject of penal substitution. And so I wanted to use the idea of penal substitution as a outline for our discussion today, and maybe first start with that idea, the penal part here, the penalty, the punishment that is due to us as sinners, the wrath of God that is scheduled or determined to be poured out upon us because we have willfully and wickedly sinned against the Almighty.
Well, you've said it, Kevin. The wrath of God is a fact. It's not always acknowledged today. And some of those who would say they acknowledged it don't always preach it with the emphasis it deserves. But it is the fundamental fact about our relationship with our Creator. We have transgressed. We are fallen. We are sinners. And we are under the wrath. And that word wrath, of course, it could be misunderstood in terms of bad temper and mere emotional outbursts. But in fact, it's a judicial quality on God's part. It's His holiness expressing itself in just judgment. And that's where we stand. Under the just condemnation of God, He judges us and we fail the judgment. He sees us every moment as transgressors. And so we can truly say that if we are realistic about life, we have to recognize that every day we live under the wrath. It's like living under an axe. And one day life is going to stop and the axe will fall. And the wrath of God, that is, His penal judgment, will be our portion unless we find our way into the salvation that He offers in Christ.
Amen.
That's what the book is all about. And the glory of the atonement is that it brings full deliverance from the wrath of God and replaces the wrath by the favor of God. So that we are adopted into his family, our sins are forgiven, our persons are accepted, we are heirs of glory. It's magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Christian gospel is all about, really. Come from under the wrath, which is unimaginably ruinous, to the sunshine of God's salvation, which is unimaginably glorious.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the whole book, really, is trying to say that in mm-hmm. one way or another and to spell it out in detail.
John Bunyan, of course, in the great work Pilgrim's Progress, makes that case right in the very beginning, doesn't he, about being in the city of destruction, a bullseye for the wrath of God, and Pilgrim owning that and feeling the guilt of it. And there's so much blame shifting in our day and age and so much reticence to let people go through that process of understanding that they are under the wrath of God. Without that, if we remove that, then we do damage to the rest of the doctrine, the glorious part of Christ removing that destruction that we're under. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, that is correct. And in maintaining that emphasis, let me say, we have the culture against us so that we have to be fighting all the time. We are swimming against the stream all the way. For the last 100 years and more, our Western culture has been telling us that everybody is born good. And if given helpful circumstances, good education, good housing, good social conditioning, we shall all of us blossom like flowers, and everybody will see how good we are, including God. So that there's really no problem of sin. We are good by nature, and we shall be accepted by God as those who are good by nature. God will indulgently pardon the few slips and errors that we've made in the course of our life. But it isn't a problem. Well, what has to be said is that the problem is inescapable. It is the holiness of God expressed in judgment that is the problem. And no cultural development, nothing in the realm of education and good housing and social conditioning, can alter that. So, sometimes, as a preacher and a writer, I have to raise my voice very emphatically to say that. And I suppose I'm raising my voice a bit saying it now. But it is so important.
It is.
So vital. And so many folk who think they're Christians haven't yet come to terms with it.
I find it interesting to ask sometime professing Christians what it is that they have been saved from. And I find it very interesting to hear the answers. So a lot of times the answers start with saved from a bad marriage, saved from financial difficulty, saved from not having certain dreams or aspirations fulfilled. But I seldom hear people say or articulate very well the idea that they have been saved from their sins and their inability to do anything about their sins. So the doctrine of total depravity, the doctrine of the wrath of God, and the inability of man to do anything about our sins seems to be in decline today. And maybe as we're doing this by way of introduction into the rest of the book, maybe that right there, as we're pointing out, is a major part of the problem why there seems to be such a misunderstanding about the penal substitutionary sacrifice of Christ.
I think you're right to suppose that this is part of the problem, and indeed the fundamental part of the problem. I would put it every time in this way. We don't reckon with the holiness of God. We are God's creatures. He made us for holiness. He wants us to be like him, which means being holy as he is holy. Scripture actually puts it that way once or twice. And his holy nature is such that where there's transgression, and shall I say, egocentric living, as distinct from God-centered living, there his holiness is offended, guilt becomes real, and his hostility, you must, I think, use that word, hostility, his hostility to sin and those who commit it becomes a reality that we have to face. And, as I said, the culture around us won't tell us that. It will tell us, in fact, something quite opposite, that we are basically good, as I said. And then, well, it isn't possible for Christians or anyone to understand the glory of the saving work of Jesus Christ just because there's nothing major that we need to be saved from. I mean, unpleasant circumstances will often resolve themselves if you just wait a little. Salvation from unpleasant circumstances is something that it's relatively trivial as compared with the real salvation, which is salvation from the guilt and power of sin. And I link guilt and power because the Bible does. The Bible says, yes, the God who made us for holiness redeems and restores us for holiness. And forgiveness of sin, then, must go with repentance and drawing on God's power to start living a truly holy life. And under Jesus Christ, whom we shall be talking about, I'm sure, in a moment, directly, under Jesus Christ, well, salvation and lordship, they're linked. He saves us from the guilt of our sin. As our Lord, he helps us to overcome the power of sin, the down-drag of sin in our sinful, what shall I call it, sinful spiritual systems, and so to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. And Christian salvation is all of that. Salvation from sin's guilt and from its power.
Excellent. I think I've seen some alliterated outlines of that, you know, from the power, saving us from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin is first.
Yes.
The penalty of sin, the power of sin, and ultimately in heaven from the very presence of sin itself. And so that's preachable right there, isn't it?
Indeed it is, and I've often used that outline myself. I've got a mind for alliteration, so
I've got the same disease. I have the same disease, and I think in these ways now. That's the problem when you get to that point. Dr. Packer, you made mention of the Lord Jesus Christ, which just at the mention of his name thrills our soul, of course, but that makes a good transition point here away from then the depravity of our sin and the worthiness of judgment that we are under, to the fact that that's obviously not all of the story of the gospel. If it was, we would be of all men most miserable. But the rest of the story is that the Lord Jesus Christ did something about our awful condition. The second person of the Trinity himself took to himself human flesh, incarnated, came in order to earn for us a righteousness we couldn't earn for ourselves, and to pay that price for our sins upon the cross. Let's talk about the person of Christ, first of all, and why it's so important that we emphasize his theanthropic person, who he is, and then what he has done in the work of redemption and reconciliation as well.
Yes, let's talk about the Lord Jesus. And once again, let's say, frankly, because it's true, the culture is against us. Our culture will tell us over and over that Jesus was a fine man, a holy man of God, but just a man, a specimen of what humanity can be when it's at its best.
Yes.
And the truth is, as you just said, that the Lord Jesus is all of that and much, much more, and primarily more.
Yes.
In the first instance, what one has to say is that this is, well, you said it yourself, the second person of the Godhead. We're up against the mystery of the Trinity here. One God, and within the unity of his being, there are three persons. They always act together with a single purpose. They live in a fellowship of love, and all their activities, one way or another, express their love for each other. Father and the Son for each other, Father and the Son and the Spirit, Spirit for loving the Father and the Son. It is a loving fellowship. I have even seen an article in which the Trinity was depicted as the perfect family. Well, you can see why, because this thought of the bond of love, uniting the three persons in everything that they do together, that's a very basic Bible thought. All right, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are at work in a great plan of redemption, and at the heart of that plan of redemption is what we call the incarnation of the second person of the three, the Son of God, so called because always he falls in with the Father's initiative and is one with the Father's purpose. Well, the Father sent him, as he said over and over again in the course of his earthly ministry, the Father sent him to redeem, and the sending involved his becoming as truly human as from all eternity he was and remains divine. Mm-hmm. He took to himself everything that's involved in being human. He lived through a human body as we do. He experienced all human emotions as we do. But nonetheless, it was the Son of God maintaining his identity as Son of God through the human nature. When we use that word that you used, theanthropic, that's the thought that we're trying to express. One person in two natures, 100% God, 100% man. And in the four Gospels, in the New Testament, in a wonderful way, you've got this sense of the person of Christ conveyed. All the four authors managed to do it. There's the double awareness that comes through every page they wrote. This is a man. This person is as truly human as any of us. And this is more than a man. And of course, in the actual circumstances of his life and ministry on earth, he was constantly bewildering people. Who is this? Look at his authority. And you got the stories of Jesus controlling stilling the storm, controlling the waves, master of the cosmos. Mm-hmm. How can a man be all of that? Mm-hmm. And yet he is a man, and like any Jewish rabbi, he's discipling personal followers, and you read all about that. And like a good man, he's showing endless compassion towards needy souls, and you've got story after story about that. Mm. Well, he was God incarnate, and the Gospels show us that.
If you're just joining the Knowing the Truth radio program today, I've been airing an interview that I did with Dr. J.I. Packer this past week, just a couple days ago, and we've been listening to it. The book that we're discussing is Dr. J.I. Packer's latest book called In My Place Condemned He Stood, and it's a book that is celebrating the glory of the atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dr. Packer actually co-authored that book with Mark Dever, and him and Mark Dever then lay out the case here for the penal substitutionary sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That sacrifice, of course, is pictured throughout the Scripture. It's pictured primarily in one of the primary texts would be in the place where the name of the book comes from, which is from Isaiah chapter 53. When we come back from the break, we're going to listen to a final portion of this and then open up the phone lines and give you an opportunity to comment. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. For some, what's truth to you may not necessarily be truth to them. In our moral relativistic society, we need to know the truth. It's found in God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, illuminated by God's Holy Spirit, and is embodied by God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Discover more about God's truth for life when you listen to the teaching ministry of Dr. Alistair Begg, weekday mornings at 11 on Christian Talk 660.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
Hey, Ruth, what's going on?
Hey, how you been?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm okay. You know, with the gas prices and everything, I just filled the tank of my car, and I spent almost my whole rent for this month.
Yeah, I know. Those gas prices are just outrageous. But you know what? I heard about CDBs. Not only do they have great pizza, but if you bring your gas receipt in, you get a dollar off.
Oh, that's great.
So you can take your whole family, have a great night, and still have some money left for gas money.
Oh, that's great.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. And don't forget to bring your gas receipt for a dollar off the already amazing low price. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio program. Today, we've been listening to an interview that I did just this past week on Tuesday with Dr. J.I. Packer, and I'm sure a lot of people in our listening audience know that name. He has been a great champion for the Orthodox Christianity throughout the years. He's written many, many books. We were talking with Dr. Packer this past week about his latest book, In My Place Condemned He Stood, is celebrating the glory of the atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Dr. Packer, let's return back to the interview, and in just a few moments when the interview ends, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, and if you want to comment on the interview with Dr. Packer, you'll be welcome to do that. The number will be 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And so let's return back to the interview with Dr. Packer, and then we'll take some calls right after that. Here we go.
And it was as God incarnate that he was equipped to be our penal substitute. We're working up to that, but mm-hmm. now we've got there, and I can say it straight. Yeah. Only a human being could be a substitute for sinful human beings under the judgment of God, which is the way salvation was achieved. And only a man who was God could handle that situation, endure the penalty for our sins as Jesus endured it, and then take his life again and rise from the dead. Of course, it's said in both ways in the New Testament. He laid down his life that he might take it again. That's how he put it. And yet at other times he said that, and the New Testament over and over again says, the Father raised him from the dead. Mm-hmm. Well, since the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they're all together in everything that God does. It doesn't matter how it's put, it's the same reality that's being talked about. So as man, perfect man, taking the place of imperfect creatures, sinners like ourselves, he bore the penalty of our sins, justice was done, and now it's on a basis of justice having been done that our sins are forgiven. Mm. Then he rose from the dead, He lives, he makes his presence a reality wherever the word of his gospel goes, and he still says to those who hear the gospel, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's there for us to turn to, there for us to trust, and there for us to discover that he gives us, through the Spirit, new hearts, new motivation. He really makes us into new creatures with new habits. Mm-hmm. And so holiness on the model of God's holiness begins to become a reality in our sinful lives. Mm. People are changed. Mm. Well, as I said, as man, he puts away our sins on the cross. As the risen Lord, the divine Lord, he changes us into his own image, the Father's image. As the God-man, then, the theanthropic person, he brings us full salvation, saves us from the guilt and the power of sin. It's a glorious message, and the glory of it, like we said at the beginning, is enhanced every time we think of where we were before Christ touched our lives, mm-hmm. namely, under the wrath of God, and hopelessly so, because of the sins we commit and the sinful nature which prompts us every day to commit more sins.
That's right. You know, we emphasize those two things. I'm speaking to our audience now, but the depravity of man and being under the wrath of God. And then we emphasize in the second point here about the divinity of Jesus Christ, again, because both of those things are so diminished in much of our preaching today. They're either taken for granted and not emphasized, or in some cases, maybe not even rightly understood as well. And so we just don't hear much about those two things. This particular point about the divinity of Christ is so important. If he's not who he says he was, if he's not divine, if he's not God himself, the second person of the Trinity, we have no salvation. A mere man cannot die for our sins, but his divinity is essential because it satisfies the wrath of God on our behalf. It has that infinite value associated with his suffering and his death in order to satisfy the wrath of God. A mere man is not capable of doing that. He had to be both. Again, to our audience, he had to be the theanthropic man, God and man at the same time, in order to meet the requirements as the mediator, that he was the mediator between God and men in order to reconcile us back to God. Having established those points now, I wanted to, in our final point, look at the idea then of penal substitution. And the way that the fact of Christ suffering then on our behalf is being questioned by some during our day, some that name the name of Christ. In fact, one writer spoke about the death of Christ in just some of the most unbelievable terms, speaking of the death of Christ as cosmic child abuse. So evidencing a complete misunderstanding of what is taking place in the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ and why it was necessary for him to suffer in that way on our behalf. In your articles on the heart of the gospel, let's talk just for a brief moment about what is happening today, why we see this rejection of the penal aspect of this, the legal or forensic aspect of what is taking place, and then why that is so important to the crux, to the core issue of the gospel.
Well, I'd better say at the start, I believe in Satan, and I believe that Satan is always trying to corrupt God's truth, and the truth that he has recently labored to corrupt is the truth that it's through real violence, that is to say, Jesus enduring at the hands of Jews and the Roman soldiers, real rejection, the ultimate of rejection as he's put to death on the cross, and the gospel, at least the historic gospel, says it is through that violence that our sins were put away. Mm-hmm. And the modern idea which only came along about 10 years ago, and I don't think will last very long. But the modern idea is, oh, violence is terrible. Love excludes violence. If God really loves us, God will have nothing to do with violence. And so the idea that God used violence in order to put away our sins, that's a misrepresentation of God. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. And that's why phrases like cosmic child abuse get coined. A phrase like that is meant to stir up prejudice against the idea that God used quite precisely the cruelty and violence of the cross, the worst thing that ever happened in human history, I would say, to put away our sins and so produce the best result, let's say the best consequence that ever happened in human history. But once one turns to the New Testament, one's in a different world. God's holiness is real, our guilt is real, and the violence of the cross was the means that the Father used to put away our sins. Substitution is a sort of solidarity. There's an element of mystery about it, because we can only receive it as a truth that God teaches us. We can't imagine the Lord Jesus consciously going in his mind through all the names of all the millions on whose behalf he was suffering, though we know that that is the right notion. He was, Paul says, I live the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a hymn, an old hymn that says, teach me that if none other had sinned but I alone, yet still thy blood, Lord Jesus, thine only, must atone. But how it was done, how God does any of these things, is a mystery. But substitution is the best word we've got in English to express the solidarity that's real here. Jesus died for our sins. Underline the word our. He loved me and gave himself for me. Well, that's the way, I think, that we should understand substitution, Christ in our place. The title of this book of mine, In My Place Condemned He Stood, that comes from an old hymn which really says it all and says it very well. Bearing shame and scoffing, rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen.
I can't put it better than that.
No.
Well, that's what we have in substitution. The penal bit, it's an adjective that reminds us that we are in the realm of retributive judgment, which is an expression of the holiness of God. It isn't any other sort of substitution that we're dealing with. It's judicial substitution. In my place, condemned, he stood. That word condemned points to the fact that this is a penal reality, Christ bearing a penalty in my place that we're dealing with. And you started the conversation by mentioning Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Well, a little way into Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, the burden that he's been carrying, the burden of guilt, falls off his back as he looks at the cross. He sees Christ hanging on the cross. The burden falls off his back of its own accord and tumbles into the grave. And he doesn't see it again and doesn't have to worry about it again. And he's a new man. A new man in Christ.
Yes.
Well, that's real Christianity. And that's what we have to call folk back to today when the culture is doing so much to lead us away from it.
For the life of me, I can't understand why anybody who names the name of Christ would want to do damage to that doctrine, because it's in that doctrine, of course, that we find our great assurance. So many people today seem to struggle with assurance, I think, because they focus on their own ability their own progress in the Christian walk, their own level of repentance when they prayed the quote-unquote sinner's prayer, their own ability to maintain their own themselves. And so because their focus is always upon themselves, there's such little amount of assurance these days. Mm-hmm. But if they return their attention upon what's been done for them in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect work, they will understand that we have a perfect acceptance with God in him, and that peace seems to be all but lost today in much of our gospel.
Well, again, if you just joined the Knowing the Truth radio program today, we've been listening to an interview that I did just this past Tuesday with Dr. J.I. Packer, and we're going to just make some final comments about that interview when we come back from the break. But you're invited to call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We'll try to get to your calls right away. Have one more little snippet to play, and then we'll answer your calls.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Have you heard? Christian Talk 660 has something for you on Saturdays. Start your afternoon off with Richard Land Live at 12 noon. And then at 3, it's the best of Janet Parshall's America. As always, you'll enjoy the latest from Fox News Radio each hour. Find out more about Richard Land and Janet Parshall when you log on to ChristianTalk660.com. Conservative Christian Talk Radio at its best. Saturday afternoons from 12 to 5 on Christian Talk 660.
Hey, Ruth, what's going on?
Hey, how you been?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm okay. You know, with the gas prices and everything, I just filled the tank of my car, and I spent almost my whole rent for this month.
Yeah, I know. Those gas prices are just outrageous. But you know what? I heard about Stevie B's. Not only do they have great pizza, but if you bring your gas receipt in, you get a dollar off.
Oh, that's great.
So you can take your whole family, have a great night, and still have some money left for gas money.
Oh, that's great.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. And don't forget to bring your gas receipt for a dollar off the already amazing low price. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
The Bible. It's the inspired, inerrant Word of God. We read in John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Weekday mornings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Go back to the Bible with Dr. Woodrow Kroll on Christian Talk 660. Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio program. I just have a little snippet to play, and then we're going to go right to the phone lines again. So let me play this right away, and then we'll go ahead and get on the phone and talk to some of the callers as well. Here we go.
I'm afraid you're right, but again, I want to quote a hymn, an old hymn, which puts it, I think, perfectly. And it's a hymn about assurance. And the verse that I want to quote is this: if thou, he's talking to the Lord Jesus, as he's singing to the Lord Jesus, if thou my pardon hast assured, and freely in my room endured the whole of wrath divine, which is what actually happened at the cross, payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding shirt his hand, and then again at mine. So, next verse: return my soul unto thy rest. The sorrows of thy great high priest have bought thy liberty. Trust in his efficacious blood, nor fear thy banishment from God, for Jesus died for thee.
It's tremendous, I think.
It's wonderful.
And that's assurance. Mm-hmm. And Christian assurance doesn't come from any other source than appreciating that payment in full for my sins was made at the cross. And Jesus has drawn near to me to move me to trust him and turn to him and set myself to live in his power according to his word, living the new life in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so the hope of glory awaits me. Mm-hmm. And we who preach the gospel must constantly be hammering away at that precious, precious truth.
Amen. So many people, I wish we had time to go down that road a little bit more today, but our time is gone. But so many people focus only on, the walk of the Christian mm-hmm. apart from this glorious doctrine. Mm-hmm. Holiness, of course, as you've been stressing throughout the conversation, is tremendously important. But we would say that holiness is inseparably tied to the doctrine of penal substitution. Once we fully understand that yeah. and concentrate and focus upon that, it is a holy life afterwards is a byproduct of that doctrinal reality in our life. And we'll actually make far more progress in the Christian walk if we focus on what Christ has done for us, in us, and through us, than if we were to devoid or separate our walk from this wonderful doctrine that we find throughout the scriptures. And that seems like another element that is misunderstood today.
Well, it is, and if we had more time, it would be good to talk about it.
Yes.
But you said it in a way to which I simply want to respond with amen. That's exactly what I believe and what I think needs to be preached over and over again. In this bewildered and benighted modern world.
Well, Dr. Packer, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to meet with us today to talk about your book, In My Place Condemned He Stood, Celebrating the Glory of the Atonement. It's written by Dr. Packer along with Mark Dever. You can get a copy of this book at crossway.org. That's www.crossway.org. You can go out there and find a copy. And thanks again, Dr. Packer, for being with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome. Hey, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program.
That again, but I was just saying that we've been listening to an interview that I did with Dr. J.I. Packer this past Tuesday, and so I hope you enjoyed hearing that a little bit. We're going to run to the phone line very quickly. Don is up first. Don, welcome into the program today.
Thanks, Kevin. I just have a couple things to say.
Sure.
Number one, I think that the reason that we don't hear very much today about the wrath of God is because we don't take sin very seriously in our culture and in the church. Every time somebody commits a murder or something, well, it's Munchausen syndrome or, any kind of number of different inventions or excuses. We don't call sin sin.
Right.
And so we don't take sin seriously, and we don't take wrath seriously either. One of the things that he said I thought that was very interesting and very true was that love in our culture today is just means being nice.
That's right.
And so people don't like the idea of substitutionary atonement or, the violence, as Dr. Packer put it, of the cross or anything like that. So I think that is this is basic. This is Christianity 101.
That's right.
It just makes you wonder why people who claim to be Christians would deny this central doctrine or seek to change it.
Mm-hmm. And, we have this element, Don, as you well know, one element in the church of professing Christians who is outwardly strongly denying these things. That's one thing. And then we have another segment, and this is by far the greater segment within the church, that is just kind of oblivious to these things, just, you know, just don't give these doctrines much time or attention because, frankly, they're not preached very often.
Right.
I can't remember if it was in the interview there with Dr. Packer when we were talking offline or possibly with Jerry Bridges, who we're going to air that interview next week. But with one of those men, I said that one good thing, if there's one silver lining about what is taking place today in Christianity is that these things appear to be new to people. It seems like we've got a new message. When I talk about the idea of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ and the earned righteousness of Christ, you know, this seems like a brand new doctrine to some
people. Unbelievable. It's almost sad that a book like this even has to be written.
You're right, and you said it right in the beginning. This is Christianity 101.
Exactly.
This is the major, the crux, the core issue of the gospel. And if you don't understand this, no wonder why we see so many people living under the circumstances, so much little power in Christianity today. It's because the gospel has been gutted from the real power that is there based upon these doctrines of the atonement and the various aspect of the atonement that we're looking at over these next couple of weeks.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I hope people, as they hear these broadcasts, you know, it'll renew a sense of yearning in their soul to really pore over these doctrines again and to rediscover like they did during the Reformation.
That's right. I have one more little question. I understand that Dr. Packer had signed the ECT document.
He did.
Did he repudiate that?
He did. I think he repudiated. We didn't talk about it during the program. It just wasn't the purpose because I was focusing in on his book there.
Sure.
But I understood that he had signed that as well. But a lesser known or well-known document was signed afterwards, where I think MacArthur and Sproul and D. James Kennedy had approached Jim Packer and asked him about, you know, did he fully understand what was meant by when he signed that, you know, or mm-hmm. or how were they to take that? And it's my understanding that a second document was then signed repudiating some of the things that were contained in the first document.
That's good to hear.
Yes, I'll have to see if I can get my hands on that, Don, so to point you to that more directly, but that's my understanding.
Okay, thank you very much, Kevin.
Okay, thanks, Don. Well, we made mention there a little bit to the fact of a couple of broadcasts that are coming up. Let me tell you about a few of those. First of all, next Tuesday on the broadcast, you know that Knowing the Truth is heard now on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And next Tuesday's broadcast, we have Ken Ham is scheduled to be with me on the broadcast. You know him, of course, from Answers in Genesis. You know him from the New Creation Museum that they have. I believe that's in Ohio. I always get it confused because it's in a little tri-state area there, but I think that's in Ohio. And he's going to be with me on the broadcast. He's written a new Answers book. His Answers book was well known and loved by Christians for a long time. Well, he has a new. This is the Answer Book 2 that is going to come out. It's just been released. I've got a couple copies that I'll be giving away on the broadcast next week as well. And then on Thursday's broadcast, I'm going to play my interview with Dr. Jerry Bridges. And Dr. Bridges, I had his co-author, Bob Bevington, was with me on the broadcast a couple weeks ago. But now I want to hear from Jerry Bridges as well. He's written a wonderful book, again, talking about the imputed righteousness of Christ. And so we'll be talking with him about that book. It's called The Great Exchange, My Sin for His Righteousness, looking at the greatest transaction that has ever taken place, the transaction between us and the Lord Jesus Christ, that legal transaction that has taken place. And so we'll be speaking with him on Thursday's broadcast. Let me remind you, you can go out to the knowingthetruth.org website, and out there you'll find a lot of resources. You'll find a schedule of the upcoming broadcasts. You'll find links to broadcasts that we have already done, interviews that I've already done, and you can go out there and listen to those. They're absolutely free. Also, we have a number of resources out there. I'm going to put a link out there this week for the Shack, a book review that was done by Tim Challies about this very popular but very ungodly book called The Shack. So if you want to take advantage of some of these resources, very simply go out to www.knowingthetruth.org and you can find all those resources there. Remember, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of his radio network, the